الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، الصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا ورسولنا وكريمنا وعزيزنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We infinitely and gloriously praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and magnify His majesty. We submit and surrender to Him and only Him and worship Him. And we bear witness that indeed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent as a guide unto all of mankind. And we send peace and blessings upon him and his noble family, and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this noble and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And for all of our mothers and sisters at home listening, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bless them abundantly as well. Today's topic of discussion is a very important one, as you are all well aware of the circumstances taking place in Europe at this very moment in time for the past few weeks. Circumstances between Russia, between Ukraine, and also equally between the East and the West. It's not just about two simple countries, but it's something much larger than that. So today on Jumu'ah, I wanted to talk about what is happening from an Islamic paradigm and to understand what we can learn from the current events, and also what we can learn from the past events and those stories that are embedded within the Qur'an, and how that we can protect ourselves and protect our communities and also our families in that regard. So throughout the glorious Qur'an, the timeless Qur'an, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the form of guidance given to all of humanity, there are stories of truth and falsehood. The truth comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. And falsehood comes sometimes from insan, and also it comes from the shaitan as well. So this is an important thing to understand, that the haqq will always come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But whether we accept that or not will dictate whether we become from those who are close to Allah, those who are chosen and purified, or those who are distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who become wretched and far away and thrown into the fire of hell. So in the Qur'an we will find stories of truth, and we will also find stories of falsehood, people who make claims that have no evidence whatsoever. And we see these stories are a battle between Bani Adam. From the beginning of creation of Adam alayhi salam, there is a battle going on within ourselves to control ourselves and our desires and the power that can corrupt us. And there's also a battle going on with external forces, which is the shaitan, the shayateen, the jinn. There is a battle of power over weakness, and a weakness also over power. And one of the stories that we all often read and recite on the day of Jumu'ah is the story of Surah Al-Kahf, which is a story of belief and disbelief. Is awal fityatu ila al-kahfi, that these group of individuals, they had this belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in comparison to the community and the society that they lived in, who had a disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a camp of goodness versus a camp of evil. And this is a story not just for Suratul Kahf, not just for the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but this saga, this story continues in our life as well. We see nemesis, we see adversaries, we see countries, we see communities, we see individuals, one claiming they are on haqq, another one on batil, one claiming for power, trying to seize power and resources and so many other things, whilst trodding down on those who are weak, those who are unable to defend themselves. So this dynamics of good and bad, of struggle between ourselves and between external forces, of belief and disbelief, of evil and goodness, is all there for us to understand and reflect upon, so that we can safeguard ourselves and we don't fall in the same traps. Otherwise, what happens, and we know this happens as a result, history simply repeats itself again and again and again and again. Why does it repeat itself? Because people don't learn, and people consequently don't change, and they are the agents of history repeating itself. So we need to understand where we are in all of this, and if we can change ourselves, then we can prevent history from repeating itself. So in Suratul Kahf, we have the story that when the youths took shelter in the cave, away from those people who were calling out to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is there mentioned in the Quran. These people, our people, has taken to themselves gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can see this fear described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contained for eternity for us to understand that the people of Kahf, what are they saying? They're saying that if they discover you, they will stone you. And they will force you back into their religion, and then you will never be saved. So this is the kayfiyah, this is the situation, the climate, the political climate, the persecution, the threat of life, of being stoned, of being killed, or of being forced and compelled back into a religion that they did not want to accept. This is the story and the scenario that they found themselves in. And we find similar stories here today, that people are persecuted and say, if you don't accept this particular religion, this is what will happen to you. If you do not accept our terms and conditions and our treaties, then we will bomb you and kill you and persecute you and do so many other heinous things. A show of power, a show of control, a show of tyranny, a show of despots. This is what is happening, is what has happened now, what has been happening for centuries, and what will perhaps continue to happen unless we learn from our history, we learn from these instances, and we understand what power is and how to control that power and to make sure we use it for good rather than allow it to corrupt us and for our people. So we see currently in the political climate, we see Russia, we see Ukraine, and we see dictatorships, both in the East and the West, and they are both Muslim. Not just one country is at fault. We can't simply say that, because people have made promises, certain countries have made promises, and now they're breaking those promises or not fulfilling those promises, and one person out of fear, one country out of fear, is doing something, another country is doing something else, and we see so many consequences taking place. So if you are not with us, some countries are saying, then you are against us. And then we will come and we will invade you, or we will put sanctions upon you, and we will cripple your financial system, we will cripple your economy, we will stop all of these resources. So much politics is taking place. But all of these things, one thing is very important to understand, that whether it is the East or the West, whether it is Russia or Ukraine, all of these things that are happening, these people are blinded by their power. And also they are blinded by their fear. Fear for the loss of resources, for the loss of control, for the loss of dictatorship, and also fear for the loss of power. They want to seize more power and more control. This is what is essentially going on. Whether it is Russia today, or Europe today, or any other country, these are the dynamics that are actually at play. So the people of the cave were threatened that they would be stoned to death if they were caught. And this is exactly what is happening with other countries. It can happen to families, it can happen to individuals, where people threaten you, if you don't do this, I will share these photos and these videos of you. If you don't do this, I will disclose X, Y, and Z about you or your family or your sister or your daughter. It can happen on a micro scale, it can happen on a macro scale, it can happen within our families, our communities and our societies, and we see it playing out today on an international level between these countries. vying for power and control out of fear and annihilation. So all of these dynamics are there, and one will always be the more powerful and the other one will always be the weaker individual. So tyranny in the past is there, has always been there, and it will be there. But for us, from the Quranic perspective, it's important that we understand that power is given to every single one of us. Kullukum ra'in. Every single one of you is responsible. The father is responsible. The mother is responsible. The husband is responsible. The person who at work, their employer. Every single person has some form of power, of control over his subordinates. You have power over your children. You have power over your employees. I have a certain amount of power standing here before you. I can use that to send a good message to you, or I can corrupt your minds and send the wrong message, or create fitna and fasad within you. So this is a very important dynamic to understand, that tyranny has always been there, because power has always been there, control has always been there, and we need to understand these dynamics and to protect ourselves so that we can prevent history from repeating itself. It is not something which is new. It was there in the time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. It was there in the time of Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam. It was there in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, even our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Tyranny has always been there. People of power, of corruption have always been there, try to instill fear into the lives of other people, to dictate and control exactly what they do and how they behave. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْبُ مَا نَفْقَهُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَقُولُ وَإِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِينَا ضَعِيفًا. That his people, Shu'aib al-Islam's people and community, saying, we don't consider you to be anything, you are insignificant in front of us. Just like big countries are saying now, what are you in front of us? You're a tiny country in comparison. We will stamp upon you. We will destroy you. These are the kind of things that take place in the media. And this is what the society of Shu'aib al-Islam said to him. What are you? You are insignificant. You are infinitesimal. You are nothing. And you are weak in comparison. وَإِنَّ لَنَرَاكَ فِينَا ضَعِيفًا. You are nothing. What can you do? وَلَوْلَا رَحْتُكَ لَجَمْنَاكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْنَا بِعَزِيزٍ. We don't have any consideration for you, any kindness for you, nothing for you. And if you do not stop what you are doing, we will stone you, we will threaten you, we will burn you, we will hurt you, we will harm you, we will ultimately kill you. This is the community of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Look at the community of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ya Ibrahim la illam tantahi la arjumannaka wa hajurni maliya. We will stone you, we will throw you into the fire, we will burn you alive. La illam tantahi ya Nuh la takunanna min al marjumin. Even Nuh alayhi salam, if you do not desist and if you do not stop, we will stone you. This is the threats. This is the tyranny that took place even in the times of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we see again and again on a loop taking place, whether on a small scale within our workplaces or our home or our communities. This is the threats that we constantly see, and we see it playing on a national and an international level as well. So Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam, they were threatened to be stoned if they did not listen to their community. Ibrahim alayhi salam's community and father were threatened to stone him to death. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and raised to the heavens, and even our beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, they plotted against him and they attempted to assassinate him at every given moment and opportunity. So tyranny has always been there in the past. And tyranny has no particular religion. Their only religion is their opinion, their power, their control, their dictatorship. This is the only thing that they want. So for us, on an individual level, you need to understand that you exert a certain amount of power over your family members, over your wife. Because we can threaten our wife, and men often do. I hear cases all the time, threatening them with divorce, threatening them with separation, threatening them financially and emotionally. Why do you do that? This is a form of tyranny. This is a form of dictatorship, where you are abusing your power against your wife. Similarly with our children, we can do that with our children as well. If you don't listen to me, you will get a smack. If you don't listen to me, I will throw you out the house. If you don't listen to me, X, Y, and Z. Well, we didn't naturally follow through with those, but we still, nevertheless, we make those statements. So on an individual level, you as a partner, you as a husband, as a father, as an employer, how do you exert your power and your influence and your control? Do you threaten them? Do you abuse them? What do you do? And if you are doing that as an individual, Because remember what I said, history just repeats itself again and again. If you and if we are doing that on an individual level, then it's happening on a communal level. Then it's happening on a national level. And this is what exactly what is happening now on an international level. The powerful, the rich, the mighty, in control and vying for their power, or out of fear, they are doing all of these heinous things and heinous acts. But for us, from an Islamic perspective, we don't threaten other people. We don't abuse our power. We always remember, وَلَا يَزْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never does zulm upon any individual. On any individual. And therefore we who are followers and submitters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we never do zulm upon ourselves, upon those who are beneath us. We do not certainly do zulm upon any other individual in our community, whether they are Muslim or whether they are non-Muslim. We remember the verses of the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. And when there is a time for us to exert and show our power and dominance, we don't. We always be kind and merciful and compassionate and forgiving and overlooking, rather than do the things that are taking place internationally or within ourselves. So sadly, this story of power, of threatening, of killing, of torture, of all of these things repeats itself again and again in the life of Shu'aib alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Al-Kahf. It's all there. But in our time as well, we can see its real life implications taking place in Syria, taking place in Iraq, taking place in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, in Yemen, in Palestine, in China, where you got Muslims, and today with Ukraine and Russia. Not, there's lots of people to blame, not just one single entity and individual to blame. We need to really understand how this comes from the grassroots levels and goes all the way to the top. So the world leaders, whoever they may be, our own or those who are not our own, they all wear the cloak of a dictatorship, some form of dictatorship, whether that is being a king, whether that is so-called democracy, whether that is a regime, they all are doing it for some personal gain, or for their national supremacy, or for their control, or for instilling fear, or something like that for that particular reason. But we as Muslims, we are Muslims of salama. We are Muslims of peace. When we greet each other, we say that I am safe for you and you may be safe for me. We shake each other's hands and we say we have no hatred or animosity in our hearts for you. We live together in peace in our communities, in our societies. We do not share fear. We do not spread fear. We share salam. We share tranquility and peace and sukoon and stability within our communities. And those who do not agree with our opinions, we say, fine, you go your way, I'll go my way. Lakum dinukum waliya din. We do not proselytize people. We do not threaten people. We do not try to assassinate or kill or bomb or do any of these things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not compel you, does not force you to accept His religion, then how can it be that we as individuals go around and compel other people to behave in particular ways, or say you have to do this as a nation or as a community or as, you know, as a country? We don't do this. This is not what Muslims do. We do not dictate. We are not tyrants. And this is not the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You never saw him being a tyrant or a despot in Makkah al-Mukarramah or in Madinah al-Munawwarah. And even at the conquest of Makkah, we see him humble. We see him forgiving and pardoning individuals rather than going out and slaughtering and doing all of those things that are taking place here today. So the reason for tyranny is unbridled power. Unbridled power. The human being is always, this is our nature, this is our fitrah, to transgress and overstep our limits. Just look at your children. Don't do this, they will still do this. Don't do this again, and they'll push their limits every single day. We do it, our wife, our husbands, our family members, our employers, everybody just does this. It's just part of that itch that you have to just see what's on the other side. What will happen? What are the consequences? Or I can get away with it. Why? Because we think we are powerful. We think we are self-sufficient. Who needs my employer? I'll get another job. Who needs this? I'll do something else. I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. This is what happens. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى بَتْ إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رُجْعَى. Indeed, man transgresses because he sees himself as self-sufficient. Oh, I don't need anybody. I can do whatever I want. I can show my power in however I want. I can threaten whoever I want.
But he doesn't realize that that person, that individual, every single individual will undoubtedly return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What power will you have then? What might will you exhibit then before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You will be insignificant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where will you hide? What will you say? What excuses will you present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So today again we see these particular tyrants, these individuals, these nations saying, I have nuclear power, I have this country on my side, I have gas supplies, I have oil supplies, I have technology. And other countries saying, well, we'll take you away from the banking system, we'll take away your assets, we'll take away your technology, we'll sanction you, we'll do all of these things. Why? Because people think that they have unlimited power and they can do whatever they want. They are in control. We are not in control of the air that we breathe, let alone in control of other nations and countries and individuals. We are in control of nothing. Nothing. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ Who owns everything? Who is the most sovereign? Everything returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only He is in complete control. And we always turn and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why if you do not control yourself on a micro scale, on an individual basis, on a daily basis, and you begin to abuse the power that you have over your family and your children and your employees and your community and your society, whatever capacity that you have, then you will see this filter down into the communities on a national level, then on an international level, and you see these things and these atrocities taking place. Look at Fir'aun. He himself admitted that he transgressed because no one ever stopped him. We say, oh, leave it, let's not say anything to him, let's not challenge him, let's not make him realize. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that unsur akhaka, aid your brother, the person who has been wronged and the person who is wronging that individual. And the Sahaba ikram said, well, we can help the person who has been wronged, it makes sense. In kana zaliman aw mazluman, that we can help the person who has been wronged by helping him, by assisting him, by helping him get up. How do we help the oppressor? But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, by stopping him from doing zulm. So we must stand up, we must speak, not just because there are Muslims in all of these countries, because it's humanity. This is our dictate, this is our mandate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wherever we see zulm as individuals, we see that darkness, we replace it with nur, we replace it with guidance, we replace it with haqq and such, and we speak up and we say, this is wrong. This is wrong with Ukraine, it is wrong with Yemen, it is wrong with Iraq, it is wrong with Afghanistan, it is wrong every single place where it is taking place. Every form of tyrant, of despot, of all of these exhibits of power, of sanctions, of control, of destruction, we stand up against it and we condemn it. This is what we need to do as Muslims. This is why Fir'aun, he carried on doing things. Nobody would ever challenge him. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يُرْجَعُونَ And then he and his troops acted arrogantly, just like nations are today. This rhetoric that they have on the media, with no justification whatsoever. And they thought they would not be returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know where our return is. We know it is inevitable. And therefore we must live lives of humility, of life of kindness and compassion, not a life of zulm, of injustice. I'adilu. This is our mandate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether with yourself or with your family members, whoever it may be, we act kindly, we act justly, we act honorably, we always say and do the right thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned himself in the Hadith Qudsi that he has made zulm upon himself forbidden. And then he also wants us to make sure that we do not do zulm upon ourselves. Do not do zulm on your body with cigarettes, with alcohol, with zina, with fornication, with gambling, with addiction, with drugs. Do not do that type of zulm upon yourself, upon your family members, upon your community in any particular way or capacity. We are forbidden to do zulm upon ourselves or other people, just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden upon himself as well. So there's so much for us to understand that, but where tyranny is currently in the state, in this world, where it comes from and how this history continues to repeat itself. But until we do not change, until we do not control the power that we have, the nations and societies and communities will not change either. Tyranny comes from this form of arrogance and also from this form of ignorance as well. And it started with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, where the shaitan, he refused out of arrogance, he refused out of ignorance, and this is what happened in countries, they refuse. We will not listen to you. Why? Because we are too arrogant to listen to you, or we are too ignorant to listen to you. We will do whatever we want. We have this unbridled power to control, to seize, and to be the leaders in this particular way. But power, as I mentioned at the beginning, is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a right given to you. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see whether you will do the right thing or whether you will do the wrong thing, how you will behave, what you will do in the circumstances. And do not fail yourselves, do not fail your family, do not fail the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Do not fail humanity by allowing that power to corrupt you and destroy you and your families and your communities and your nations, just the way Fir'aun corrupted himself and destroyed himself and other nations have destroyed themselves. Tyranny will always backfire against you, and you will undoubtedly be punished for it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, but most assuredly you will be punished for it in the hereafter. So we need to be patient, and we need to make sure that we stand up with those people who are wrong, and stand up against injustice as well, and zulm wherever it may be, and know that those who transgress, they will have a miserable return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not be able to stop dictatorship on an international level, but you can do it within yourselves, within your homes, within your families, within your communities, within your societies, within your workplaces. You can do that. Protect yourself, protect the weak, protect the vulnerable, protect the oppressed. This is the message of Islam. This is the message of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, jazakumullahu khairan.